Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young cat.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger. Firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with ya. Good Q&As coming in, including one on Major League Baseball that we will get to, hopefully coming up this hour. And you know what? We will get to it. I have it in my notes for hot and cool. We will get to that, and then we will revisit it at some point during the show. Really interesting tidbit coming out of Major League Baseball, right, meow.
Interesting tidbit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
involves your stinking cheaters, who it involves.
They are no longer associated with the team.
Every single guy over there needs a beating.
Nope. Not going to happen. They're always associated for life.
Oh, my God.
You tell them, Will.
Wait. Will Clark was saying everybody cheats. That's what the oh, my God was for.
No. Oh, my God. You tell them, Will.
All right. Right now, it's 7:04.
What's hot?
Who can?
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Oregon State women's basketball star Destiny Slocum has opted to enter the transfer portal. She's got a case of the transfers. She transferred after her freshman year from Maryland to Oregon State. And now she will transfer from Oregon State as a grad transfer to play her for her third school.
All right.
I mean, she graduated, so.
Yeah, if you grad, it's called a grad transfer for a reason. You got graduated, put in your time, you got 4 years, go take advantage of it.
It is a little surprising, though, that, you know, when she transferred from Maryland to Oregon State, it was all because of the family aspect of Oregon State and how she felt at home. Mm-hmm. She was the second leading scorer on the team, second in minutes played, only to All-American Michaela Pivick last year. And now Scott Ruick has to, you know, replenish his entire backcourt. Yeah. For this next season. Meanwhile, on the men's side, the University of Oregon is reportedly the top landing spot for St. Peter's transfer, Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada?
Nope, Aaron Estrada.
Oh, darn it. I thought we were going to get some chips quotes right in on a great straight 80s Kawasaki.
Yeah, I don't know who Adam Zagoria is.
Maybe skate in on some roller skates.
But he is the guy reporting this. He's college basketball reporter, Insada. But Estrada is a 6'4", 200-pound guard from St. Peter's. Didn't know that was a Division I school. He was the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference Rookie of the Year as a freshman. Obviously, Oregon has to replace a starting point guard who's pretty damn good in his own right, and Peyton Pritchard. So that's basketball transfer news for you. We talked about Iowa State in their coaching and administrator coaching staffs and administrators taking pay cuts yesterday. University of Oregon announcing Rob Mullins and other administrators will be taking a 10% pay cut this year.
It's kind of happening in industry wide, everywhere. There, I can't think of one industry that's not been affected by this. What we're dealing with, jobs, unemployment, highest it's ever been. It's sacrifice time with a lot of people. I know I don't know if Oregon did. I didn't see, but the state of Washington extended all the way to May 7th for their stay at home. So we're all in this together, but everybody is sacrificing.
For sure, financially and, you know, socially. There isn't a single aspect life that has not been changed by this.
I'm not going to take a small lecture just for a second. Go. But it's like, if you're not following the rules out there, please, man, just do something that makes sense. Of trying to follow it as best you can. I know, grandparents came over just to say hi, but they parked on the street just to wave. I mean, we're doing everything we can. Mm-hmm. Just think of something that's bigger than you for a second.
We'll have audio along those lines coming up at 7:45 for you. That'll pound that very sentiment home. A scary time for former USC and Jacksonville Jaguar offensive lineman Tony Boselli. He was hospitalized.
I read this story, man.
With COVID-19 for 5 days, and he has since been released, but he's telling his story now, man.
His story was incredible. Here's a big, huge offensive lineman. He's 47 years old, 48, 47. Remember seeing Tony Boselli? He was still in the league at the time when he was there. Monster, a great broadcaster for Westwood One, does an excellent job. Hit him. Mm-hmm. Look, man, this thing has it doesn't pick and choose of who suffers and who doesn't. At this, from everything we're knowing, there's a guy that said, I was on the verge when the ICU set. I thought I was done. I had a hard time breathing. All the stories are like, hey, it affects some people differently. You just don't know. It doesn't discriminate on age. It'll get you. You got to be careful.
Yeah. And it is a cautionary tale because Boselli's wife also had it and wasn't affected by
nothing.
It.
Nothing. And you don't know. We're trying to find these reasons, and these doctors are doing everything they can to try to find why it affects people differently at different times. You think that you're not susceptible, just ask Tony Boselli, big, strong offensive lineman, his 40s, works out, still plays with all those things. Like, I thought I was fine. Nothing. Yeah. Bang. And instantaneously.
One thing that they're saying, the size matters in this. It does. It really does. Yeah. I mean, the size of the human being.
Yeah.
It does matter. Thus, Boselli getting hit harder than his wife did with it. With only $171 to spend this year, including signing their rookie class, the Kansas City Chiefs have restructured the deal of Sammy Watkins, giving him a no-trade clause. But $9 million, which will spread out the hit of his salary.
I don't know if you saw the report of what Kansas City had on the books of actual cap space just a few days ago.
Did you happen to? $171.
Well, that's what I just said. Yeah. To sign their rookie class, too.
$171.
And then Adam Schefter had the genius tweet that they had.
What could you spend with it?
That you
could I thought get, it was 177. Was it 171 or 177?
No, 171. I saw 171 this morning, but Adam Schefter said you could get Andy Reid some barbecue with that.
Some. Not everything meal. He wants, but some. Remember, though, Sammy Watkins.
Ooh, good barbecue in Kansas City, though.
He said he was going to take a sabbatical.
Who?
Sammy Watkins. Remember, he said.
A gap year.
Yeah, he said if they won the Super Bowl, he was going to take a year off.
I kind of like that idea.
Not anymore.
For $9 million?
He's coming back. And there you go.
Allegedly.
But they now, if you think about it, the Chiefs will have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, and Travis Kelce all returning their 5 leading receivers from a year ago. Keep your targets around your star quarterback, huh? All right. Major League Baseball, this according to Buster Olney of ESPN, he said yesterday that the wording in the suspensions of A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow for their roles in the Astros sign-stealing scandal is pretty clear, even if Major League Baseball season is canceled, they'll be able to return.
This is dumb.
Next year.
This is dumb. Rob Manfred is a commissioner. He can change any wording he wants. You can take all the wordings or all the things you want. They own their league. This isn't a. This has nothing. This is dumb. It'll take just a bunch of crowd pressure and peer pressure to change. This is a private company. If he wants to suspend them for another year, he'd be like, look, I'm spending you for longer. Tough. See you later. And by the way, these guys aren't getting hired anyway.
But don't they have the arbitrators and all that? Yeah, they don't. They're getting hired anyway. That is an important role, or that's an important thing to remember here. They don't have jobs. They were both fired by the Astros. Yeah,
nobody's going to hire them anyway for quite some time. Maybe not ever.
Well, so isn't that what we thought about Alvin Smith in sports? Especially if you have a guy like Lunau, who his formula has worked, and everywhere he's gone from St. Louis to Houston.
That's fair because they probably. In time, you'll serve his deal, and both those guys will get a chance to come back, and you get a chance to get a second chance.
I think Hinch will be back. I really do. I think he will be back because there will be a team that will try to justify it. Well, he tried to break the monitor. Look, these guys, nobody did enough to stop it in Houston. Nobody did. That is the fact, and that is the reality.
But it's a wrong rule. It's a completely wrong rule. I don't care how it's written, is that it should be. And if Rob Manfred wants to change it and they want to go through some legal arbitration, they'll just laugh at you and go, hey, sorry, guys, we're going to see you later anyway.
I mean, it kind of says baseball really didn't take it that seriously, though, too, doesn't it?
That's
I mean,
quite
if
obvious.
They're sitting there going, they're like, yeah, any players. Whatever, you know, okay, hopefully this just goes away.
Although at least a couple Houston Astros are taking it serious, one former one. You know what? He's my spirit animal.
Evan Gattis?
Yes.
Well, he's been backtracking ever since he called Mike Fiers a snitch.
It doesn't matter if he's backtracking. At least he came out and said something.
Yeah, because he took heat because did you see he has a cup that has been made with Mike Fiers' picture on it that says snitches get stitches. And then he took a picture of it, put it on social media, took a ton of heat for it.
Yeah.
And he's been backtracking ever since.
At least he's not with the rest of those clowns down there and saying, oh, it's just part of the deal. He can backtrack it out. He can change his mind and feel bad and feel like, look, I probably made a mistake. I shouldn't have that stance anymore.
Yeah.
At least he's not like that clown Bregman. Yep. He stands up there with his pompous, stupid face and looks him all dead in the eye and goes,
stupid face.
He does have a punchable face, that little punk. And they just sit there and try to complain like, well, it wasn't this stupid little. Still a good player, though. I mean, I always give. I always give guy credit for his ability and his talent because he's got talent. He just didn't need to cheat. The rest of those clowns didn't need to cheat.
No, they didn't.
He should have just done the game the right way.
Yeah. See, with the Gattis thing, though, I do appreciate the sentiment that, you know, and the idea that, hey, he is backtracking. Maybe he does feel bad. I just don't believe he buys it because the initial one was snitches get stitches.
I believe he buys it. I do.
Why?
Because when I read his comment, some people sometimes say things they regret. Can we agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because in the initial, you get defensive. You get super defensive when everyone's coming at you because you know, like, Evan Gattis knows there's a bunch of people in the league doing it. You're calling me out. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. And then he sits back and goes, it doesn't matter. If I line up behind a bunch of people jumping off a bridge and I jump off the bridge, I'm an idiot. Okay? So you followed the wrong people.
Right.
In the end, he needs to realize that. And I believe he has. And you just get away with it. There's nothing wrong with backtracking.
If you missed his...
It's not like his dumbass owner.
God, Jim Crane. Man, he said that he was...
What a clown.
Well, he's not totally wrong because Manfred did say that Crane had no idea, but he's trying to make it sound like that makes everything that the franchise is doing now okay. It doesn't.
It's okay, we're moving forward.
But if you miss what Gattis said, he said, if our punishment is being hated by everybody forever, then so be it. And I don't know what should have been done, but something had to be blankin' done. And I do agree with that big time.
Yeah.
So... I mean,
you can look back and be retrospective, can't you?
That's
fair to the human being to sit there. I was wrong, man. Yeah. I made mistakes. I did something wrong. Alex Rodriguez has come out and said it. He did it. I know he may be a little pretentious, and we all understand that. And but he came out and said, look, I apologize. I made some bad mistakes. You can allow that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
He said, we obviously cheated baseball and we cheated the fans. Fans felt duped. I feel bad for fans.
Yeah.
And that's basically all he said there. I mean, I don't know. He's in. Yeah, well, no.
Kick him off the tour, Doug.
He said, "I don't know how to feel yet." I don't think anybody. Do. Yeah, yeah. Go Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin. Everybody's looking for Shooter McGavin for advice now.
You've got to kick him off the tour.
All right. 55305. That's the fan text line. Get your Q&As in for next hour. If you have any would you rather scenarios to make Buck's job easier, send them. And maybe you'll hear yours read during Weekend Would You Rather at the top of next hour. Coming up next, though, something was said by a Los Angeles Ram that I don't think we would have ever heard just 5 or 6 years ago. 717 on the fan.
Damn you people, this is golf! What a rock concert!
All right, 720, Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Andrew Whitworth, we reported this a couple weeks ago, or reported on this, that he's returning to the Rams, 38 years old, offensive lineman. He's been through the ringer. Remember when he got his freedom from Cincinnati, which you say is one of the worst run franchises in sports?
Not just worst, it's just so cheap. They don't value.
Right.
Just cheap.
They don't.
They don't value.
Whitworth has seen, like, he was one of the best linemen.
Ask Carson Palmer about it.
Well, and Whitworth was one of the best linemen in football, and he was stuck in Cincinnati.
They had Anthony Munoz.
Well, at least, didn't he play for in a Super Bowl, though?
Well, yeah, I know, with Boomer Esiason and Tim Crumry got his, the leg break of Tim Crumry. And those 49er fans remember that.
But Whitworth not playing with Anthony Munoz in Cincinnati. He got a shot in the arm when he got to go to the Rams. And imagine a player saying this about the Rams franchise 5 or 6 years ago.
I mean, amazing. I mean, that was the goal all along, of course, is that if I wanted to return and play, I wanted to stay here and play. And, you know, once I decided for sure and got the okay from the family and everybody else that we were going to play football again, I mean, there was no other place I'd want to be than here.
No other place I'd rather be than here. If there was one team I was going to play with, it would be this team. Mm. It's coming from a guy who is 38. His career's been awesome. You know, he was one of the best linemen in football, that we said. Could you imagine just a few years ago when they were 1-15 in consecutive order, their seasons went 3-13, 2-14, 1-15, 7-9. We're not on the NFL page because Buck's been having to bounce around with his drops today.
That is 7-9 bull.
Yes.
Then they went 2-14, 7-8-1, 7-9.
That is 7-9 bull.
6-10, 7-9, 4-12. That has been the Rams.
Yeah.
And then the last three seasons, 11-5, 13-3. 9-7. What has happened with the Rams that has made this massive change? Besides, like, Sean McVay taking over.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when did Les Snead took over?
Les Snead had been there a while.
Yeah, he took over near the end of the Jeff Fisher run.
Mm-hmm.
But just moving to L.A. and hiring Sean McVay are the two things that really just changed it?
No question. Coaching is everything.
It's a culture difference.
Coaching is everything. Innovation, intelligence, moving into a new era. Jeff Fisher's a great, respected head football coach, understanding, but he hasn't been offered another job since. Fact. And the league will tell you when it's time. If you don't innovate and change, that's why Mike Martz was gone. That's why guys of that were supposedly brainchilds and arrogant. You got to be willing to innovate and change. He wasn't. But not just innovate and change. You got to be able to be different on offense. And Jeff Fisher wasn't willing to get out of the Stone Age on offense. Great defense. He always had solid defenses. Always. Always tough to play. Remember how they'd always go up to Seattle late in the season and beat the Seahawks up there in Seattle? He's like, God dang it. How are they able to do that? Great defense. Offense was dreadful. Culture change. Coaching change. Innovation. It's all good.
And that is something that, like, when you talk about Whitworth, these older guys, they want the culture. They want the fit. Look at Tom Brady's a great example of this. He just was done. Like, the culture is great for what New England does. And Bill Belichick, he wanted something where he felt valued and appreciated. And everybody's, especially these older vets, they want to find that guy. They want to, or not that guy, that team that kind of values them that way.
Oh, all these veterans, even I know we talk about the NBA, ask LeBron how he feels about rookies and all these young players. As you age, when you're a veteran, you love being around other vets. You like a few rooks. They're okay. It's like, hey, rookie. And it, because they're so different in the locker room, guys. You kind of, the clicks that happen, and you want to say it's really hard to relate to a guy who's 40 or someone like an Andrew Whitworth to a guy who's 22, who's coming into the league, going to be out partying all night. This guy's got kids. He's got kids in high school. You're looking at this guy going, this is like my teacher. There's nothing
Dad?
That we associate with at all, other than the fact that we're on the same football team. There's no commons, nothing, no common denominators other than that we go to compete with each other on Sundays. So it's really, we love veterans. We love older guys that are settled, but you like a little bit of young spontaneity too.
Just like with Baltimore and the, Calais Campbell trade, where it was, you know, Tony Jefferson, who just got cut by the team and said the culture was great.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Rams are one of those teams that they don't get enough credit for being that one of those culture fits in the NFL.
Well, and it's tough too, because Sean McVay is so young and full of energy, and he looks like he's a guy that really knows how to inject youth into it. But you can get these older players to really feel excited about it, especially if you go to Super Bowl. And you're in L.A. I mean, it's this town. It's a whole place that's full of energy. It didn't. Jeff Fisher was one of the worst fits you ever for the culture of the city alone. You don't think that attitude makes everything in a head coach and how they fit the people in the area?
Are you telling me he wasn't energetic
Why
enough?
Was Pete Carroll so great as USC's head football coach?
He was L.A., man.
It was everything L.A. Cool. Yep. Just, I mean, he was a man of the people. Loves it. He's great with it.
Elsewhere in the National Football League, I found this piece of audio pretty interesting. Brandon Bean is the GM of the Buffalo Bills, and he was talking about he was asked on a conference call the trade for Stephon Diggs and how a lot of teams are going to be attacking this offseason. Could we see a record number of trades come the NFL draft based on what Brandon Bean is talking about?
I just felt like it was going to be really hard unless I traded up really high to find a guy that I know could walk in day one. If let's just say it's August before we get back to things, you know, I just felt a proven commodity was worth this. You know, the trade value of this move, Matt, probably moved us up 3 to 4 slots from 22, might've got us to 18, 19. I had to get one of those, premier guys that I knew would walk in the door even August 1st and be ready to roll.
They needed a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They said, hey, we maybe not have OTAs, mini camps. If we're going to make Josh Allen and we have a window to win and win right now, why don't we go after Stephon Diggs? Do you think we'll see more of that, of trading for a veteran, you know, leading up to the draft and maybe even on draft day?
I hope so. I hope we get more of the kind of excitement of the trade deadline like NBA has. The trade deadline for the NBA is fascinating with how much shifting. And you could be like what the Cleveland Cavaliers had, a completely different team at the trade deadline. They were like, hey, there's this team, and then there's part two where everybody – yeah, I do. I think teams start to, and that's the best part, is that as you head into the fall, and if we're lucky enough, and I'm going to have to keep reiterating this all the time, if we're lucky enough to have football and we get to September, everybody's winning the Super Bowl in September. We're all good. Okay. October hits, you've lost about 10 players, a couple guys are on IR, maybe your starter's gone, and then all of a sudden the teams are going, all right, well, it looks like we're done for the year. We're either going to move into tank mode, which I don't agree with, and or let's go find the veterans that are willing to move. Because at that point, teams are willing to move off of guys because they thought that they were going to make a Super Bowl run. You'd be amazed how by October, the second week of October, teams are already like, all right, who should we trade off?
But they never do it. It's dumb.
Like, I know,
nobody
but that's
pulls
what
the trigger on it.
They do. I mean, a little bit. But if we could get more of that, if we could get more of the trade deadline and seeing those veterans want to do. And here's what's also going to push us through that. Is that veterans are going to start to create more animosity to get them out.
Yeah, and I think that the now with, if you have any
social media, that's all they have. That's what they need. This one social media like or a post can get you not only kicked out of a city, get you fired instantaneously.
If you have any semblance of leverage, you have to use it right now because of that uncertainty that Brandon Bean's talking about, with the fact that, hey, if I'm a vet, and I see a team that has a need, I'm going to try and force my way out of the team that I'm on right now if I don't like it there, because that team that has a hole to fill and I feel I can do it, they don't want to try to develop a rookie if they're not going to have that rookie on the field, or they can't talk to him so he can't learn on field without OTAs and minicamps and stuff. They're going to want somebody that they can know can walk in and play right away. So use that leverage, guys.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's a very active, because I love NFL trades. It'd be great for the league, especially leading up to the draft. All right, Woj. He dropped a Woj bomb on us. Contingency plans for the NBA. After Buck with SportsCenter. R.I.P. Bill Withers, 81 years old, passing away. He had heart complications, so this is not what is believed to be a COVID death. 81. Yeah. Lean on Me, Ain't No Sunshine, and then this song, some Lovely
great
Day.
Great songs. God, some great songs. Oh, this year. We lost Joe Diffie.
Yeah, something women like about a pickup man.
Pickup man.
Which, man. Did you see the tweet as a response to Joe Diffie's death that came in?
No.
About a woman that hooked up with him in 1987?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
basically, this woman just tweeted that she hooked up with him in 1987. He's in, like, the whole thing was like, oh, I never got to connect with him again. He was very well endowed. And the sign off on her tweet was Heaven gained another 10 inches today, which I was like,
good on Joe.
That's your
good for you.
That's your farewell. So that's your farewell condolence tweet to him.
I saw this good tweet and I'm like, who is this person? I go to the Twitter account to find she has replied this to everyone who has tweeted about Joe Diffie. So I don't know if this was a
one
story that she just wanted everyone to know about her, or if this was a made up thing and she was hoping to gain some traction.
You know what? I'd like to believe that the pickup man, that is a true story. You know, I don't know, but they do come in threes. You know, isn't that
threes?
Yeah, the celebrity deaths come in threes. Know. You know, that's what they say.
I feel like we're well above three.
Well, yes. Well, not from COVID.
Yeah,
we're way above that. I have a Joe Burrow story that I'd like to share at some point later in the show. Your Q&As, get your questions in 553-05. We'll do that next hour and our weekend would you rather to kick off the next hour. But we talked about this a little bit briefly earlier. Woj of ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, he joined SportsCenter yesterday from his home. He's not sitting on a toilet. It is an office. I can confirm because I watched the video.
Okay,
but the audio sounds like he may be on his toilet. He discussed the NBA's plans. We've heard cruise ships. We've heard college campuses. We've heard Vegas. We've heard practice facilities, everything. Woj spoke on what the NBA is actually looking at doing. Now, this is a little bit long, but it's worth the listen because he goes through a laundry list of things where the NBA, they may change the way we view sports.
The league has any number of contingencies there trying to work with based on how much time, if any, they have to resume the season. And I think it's increasingly unlikely that the league could make up all of its regular season games. But their hope is that they would have at least several regular season games before starting the playoffs. And then you may have a playoffs that are truncated. You may have shorter series, perhaps in the first round. And, you know, one thing that the league is spending a lot of time on right now is at least an initial return where potentially you would have all the teams together to finish the regular season at one quarantine site. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas has been a destination that has been discussed, that built around the idea of literally perhaps, using a casino, playing games and potentially a ballroom with courts. There's lots of different scenarios, almost all of which, Maria, would be built around the idea of a return without fans in the stands, certainly initially, and whether there would be fans even in playoff games or finals, there's not been a sense that that may be possible. That's why part of what the league has asked teams to do, not only give us dates for your arena, but give us dates for your practice facility, smaller venues around bigger arenas. Because if you were going to return without fans to play a game in a tighter environment where you perhaps you could make it be a little more creative with television angles, with sound, to make it a more appealing product for television. And that's going to be, Maria, too, as much as anything, for the league to be able to get its television revenue from the postseason is important for all the teams. You know, it's important to be able to have those games on television more so than even the gate receipts of that they're going to lose in the arenas if they play without fans.
A lot of information there.
A lot to take in.
The number one thing that stuck out to me, anybody that had the slim chance of the Blazers making the playoffs, that's horrible their playoff chances.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, truncated season. Shortening playoffs series. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I do too.
Yeah, start at the first two rounds or fives, then go sevens.
And then no fans. And he reiterated that. He said no fans and getting creative with the sound. One of the options he didn't mention there is piping in the noise via your computers as you're watching the games.
I highly doubt that, but it could be. I think Vegas seems like the most logical setup where they're all quarantined into a, if not one or two different casinos. I mean, the whole league could stay in one casino, tell you the truth.
Very true.
I mean, they could stay in two floors. These things are so huge. The whole damn league could if they wanted to and just do it that way. And that would make sense. Maybe a couple courts there, and you know, they could just put it up in the MGM area and have it in, and have a couple courts there, and just make it small.
Well, that was an interesting tidbit that if you were listening closely, in ballrooms, having multiple courts in one ballroom, so and then getting
make it look like
getting creative tournament with camera angles, it'd be like NBA players, the best in the world. And it would look like a middle school basketball tournament where you got like four courts going at the same time, like it's the hoop.
It's like the hoop over in Beaverton. That's exactly what it'd look like.
Yeah.
So you throw some drapes down, separate the two, and let's go. Have a bunch of people standing around yelling.
And getting creative with camera angles, because this is about TV. Make no mistake about it. You know, I've been saying this all along. We will see the NBA playoffs. I don't know when. We'll see it, because there is $1 billion on the line for the NBA. And this is not just basketball. This is a TV show.
Yeah.
And they have to make it good for TV.
Well, they're going to have to figure it out soon. And I think we might get it. I think we might get it here in the next month, tell you the truth. They have time to figure this out. They could set up the setup. They could get all the testing facilities ready. They could do it all financially. I don't know what stay at home in, I don't know what Nevada is at this point, and I don't know what the city and all the mayors and dealing with that. If that is an option, you have private planes, you can secure all these teams to show up and not have to do it. It's just probably just logistics at this point.
Yeah, 100%. And they want to make sure, one, everybody's safe, two, get your money. Let's hear some motivational words from Samuel L. Jackson. A follow-up to his hit book that he read, Go the F to Sleep, Samuel L. Jackson gives you COVID-19 advice plus some great audio from a local reporter who's having to work from home and still do the news. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, sometimes these are very trying times that we're going through right now. Self-quarantining, stay-at-home orders from our local principalities. Well, some people need a little help with this. And Samuel L. Jackson, actor, creator, extraordinaire, he gave a follow-up to the hit book that he read, Go the F to Sleep, with his new book, Stay the F at Home. Take a listen.
Stay the F at home. The Rona is spreading. This is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the f*** at home. Now, technically, I'm not a doctor. But mother listen when I read a poem. So here I am, Sam f***ing Jackson, imploring you. Keep your ass at home. If you want things to get back to normal, don't panic. Just use your dome. Wash your hands, stop touching your face, and stay the f*** at home. Motherfucker, it's no time to gamble. Look around, you're not at a casino. Just stay the f*** home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino. Sure, you can still see your friends. Use the motherfucking app on your phone. But unless you just ran out of groceries, please. Stay the f*** at home. Thank you for doing your part to flatten the curve, because that f*** is steep. And now that you're home, please feel free to go the f*** to sleep. The end.
I think that that's the book we all needed at this time. People are having problems staying at home now.
Do you think he was playing the piano during this entire time?
No, I saw him. He was reading.
Oh, this is a video?
Yeah. He was reading.
Oh, I would have been more impressed if he was
doing that. And turning the pages himself. Mm-hmm. But you were mentioning this earlier when you were talking about Tony Baselli, that, you know, everybody's doing their part. And look, it's working. When you talk about, nobody, I think, quite understood what flattening the curve meant. But now we're starting to see what it means in the areas that aren't and where the areas that are. Here, we just kind of need to keep doing what we're doing. We need a little motivation.
I know. We need a little motivation.
Sam will give it to you.
Sammy, God bless him. He's a worker, too. And if anybody that's an actor in Hollywood, that guy over. I mean, he is a worker. He's in everything. Commercials, TV shows. He's in movies. Everything. And here's a guy that's having probably the hardest time of any actor to stay at home.
Samuel L. Jackson has been in at least 133 films.
That's awesome.
Films. I mean, that's just movies.
Loves to work.
You know how old he is?
I want to say Samuel L. Jackson is 67. That's Ryan, my guess.
Ryan?
Oof, that's a good guess. 68.
71 years old.
All right. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
71. He's born in 1948.
There you go.
Woof. Look at that. And, you know, he's been married to the same woman since 1980.
He looks good for 71.
He looks great. Jinx. What were you going to say?
Stay the blank home.
Yeah.
Do your part, people.
Flatten that curve.
How many people are really doing it? No, I really ask yourself that.
What do you mean by this?
How many are really following, truthfully, following the rules?
Like not going out unless you absolutely have to?
No, like grandparents, like I said yesterday, grandparents came over, parked on the street, just say hi to the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we're...
Oh, I'll say we've gone out, like, there is an element of you've got it. Like, we go for walks and bike rides and stuff, which is, I mean, you're supposed to do that.
Yep.
But I find it, everybody in our area, in our neighborhood, they do a very good job of, you know, you keep your distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're on a sidewalk and you see somebody, either you'll cross the street, and it's not considered rude to do that anymore.
No.
Or you'll, like, you know, if we're on bikes, we'll go into the street or you make your way. And it has been very reassuring seeing that.
Well, you know, the report that got me the most was my hometown was Skagit County, was the choir group that all 60 of the choir group at the church grew up. A church I grew up in is just right down the street. Where I grew up is probably two miles away. And I know a bunch of people up there. And that story went national. I mean, it got, I think it was USA Today that ended up posting it even bigger, is that the choir group just got together. None of them were sick. None of them knew anything. They kind of hugged it a little bit, but they were just singing with each other, and 60 of them came down with it. And it just, you go, wait a minute. They were just breathing. They weren't coughing. They weren't doing anything.
Yikes.
And it's scary. It is.
We've got folks saying, I'm still making deliveries. Nobody out and about. No, it's weird, man. It's weird when you're driving on the roads. And
did you also see the map of people that were, that it said areas of the country that started doing social distancing and are still following it compared to what region of the country do you think is like
the south?
It was red everywhere.
Yeah. And yeah,
the amount of movement it took from those down there to actually follow the rule.
It's working here in the state of Oregon, and it's starting to work up in Washington. They just had more cases of it. But I think like for people in Oregon especially, they saw what happened in Kirkland and were like, that's not that far away.
No.
You know, we take it seriously and see if it works. And it is. It's working.
May 7th. Got post policed in the state up on the other side of the river.
May 3rd is what I saw last of when the peak. You're talking peaks?
Yeah.
The further. Well,
the shutdown. They asked the Governor Inslee shut it down.
Home. You're talking stay at home orders.
He extended through May 7th. I don't know what the governor of Oregon has done yet.
I don't know. Just stay at home until further notice. We'll just go along.
So indefinitely?
Sure.
Just indefinitely.
Stay at home. But I saw that like the curve flattening in May 3rd is when the peak is supposed to happen in Oregon out, which is good. That's good. It's good.
Every time I see something new, a different report comes out. So yeah. I'm just,
well, it changes by day, man.
We're all holding fort here.
Changes, doing changes everything by we day. Can. You know, some people that were essential, no longer essential. You're seeing like Sports Center segments now hosted from homes. And some newscasts are like the people actually delivering your daily news. They are going to be in studio, but reporter Jennifer Ketchmark, who is the meteorologist for 9 First Warning. Gosh, their name of their TV station is First Warning. That's weird. WCPO. She's doing her reports from home, and she goes, she had a tweet that said, not my proudest moment, but this is what it's like working at home with a 3 and 8 year old. Incredibly frustrating. Not my finest moment, but I'm sure I'm not alone. I bring you recording blunders and bloopers from a meteorologist working at home.
Thanks, Connor. Mommy's trying to do a little bit of work. Can you let me finish my work? Hey, let me open them. Go upstairs so I can finish my work, okay? Hey, I got to record something real quick, okay? Nope, he's on the phone. Just give me 5, okay? I need 5. He is on a call, okay? You cannot talk to Daddy right now. Give me a second, guys, okay? Go upstairs. 3, 2, pull in, water rise. Guys, go upstairs. I'm with a critical. Connor, give Mommy a minute, please. I'll be upstairs in 1 minute. 3.
Three. Breathe. Almost like this, you breathe.
3, 2.
You can't do anything with little kids around. You can't accomplish anything.
Yeah, there was talks about us starting to do our shows from home around here, and I was like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. Because if you think,
I got no problem.
Jennifer Ketchmark doing hers with her 3 and her 8 year old around, she handled that very well. She's like, it's not my finest moment, boy, Mikey. You'd hear probably an F-bomb or two. Not that it would be directed at my children, but out of frustration if I was doing the show from home. Kids, when they're that age, your kids know I can stay away and I know when to leave you alone.
They still...
Now, 6 and 3, it is a different world. They have no sense of what that means.
There's no boundaries.
None.
Zero.
None. Oh, man. But yeah. 3 and 8 year olds, given the weather report from home, look, that's parent life, man. I feel for everybody working at home that has to go through that.
You know what I've just learned about this coronavirus is I feel like I have the leg up on everybody with hair. I feel for all the barbers and all the ones that have to get their haircuts and all the ladies and can't do all that stuff. I feel for you. I do. I feel like I have a fortunate leg up on you. Is that I just straight razor this bad boy and keep her trimmed. And I was cutting the boy's hair last night and I went, gosh, I was thinking of all the people that can't get their hair cut. I know it's big world problems, but
there's going to be a lot of
stay at home cuts.
Hair.
some stay-at-home cuts. We're going to be going home cuts, the sucking cut.
Who's whose haircut with the fan is going to suffer the most? Is there one?
Well, Isaac's growing his out, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, and doesn't matter for you or Sook.
Doesn't matter for me or Sook.
I got my
Sprague's not got much left either. Neither does Dirt.
Whoa.
Oh, Sprague's going. Oh, come on. Sprague is. Oh my goodness.
He's getting
a
little power alleys.
Little power alleys. He's not a luscious locks of hair either.
I feel like he's got a fair amount of hair.
He's got a good head of hair.
Good?
Yeah. Hey, whoa, hey, don't be Judgy Judgerson on hair over there, bud.
I am Judgy Judgerson on hair. You think about anybody that should be judgy is me. I've studied it beyond belief. I'm still jealous. I'm still jealous if you have more. Just side note.
Sprague's got good hair. He does. Does he still have the hard part?
I think it might be you. Yeah. I think it might be you, Ryan.
I wear a hat every day. I know.
I got my hair cut right before the stay-at-home order.
Is it Swag? I'm all right. Swag. It might be Swag. Although I feel Swag cuts his own hair.
No, he does not.
He doesn't?
No, he goes to Hair M, I think.
He does?
Oh, yeah, I think he does.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Just let it go.
You know who it might be?
Huh?
It might be our boss, Jeff Austin.
Well, Jeff is a silver fox. He's a silver fox.
But, you know, this goes back to the whole idea of who the F cares, nobody's going
to
see you.
About to be a shaggy fox.
I'm looking at a picture of Brandon Sprague right now, and I don't even see a receding hairline on him. Do you think he fudged the angle?
I think he probably did. He probably did. He and Dirt.
He's been pulling a fast one on us all these years.
This guy texting, my boss shaved his head. He looks exactly like Walter White. Oh, whoa, that'd be a weird one. You know, you walk in and you've got, hey, boss, we changing our business plan here. We're going to start making some meth. Yeah. Yikes.
Buy a set of clippers and just buzz it down.
Hey, you are lucky, though, man. You are lucky. You can go straight razor to that some of the gun. All right, 55305. That's a fan text. I can get your Q&As in for next hour. If you have a would you rather, help Buck's job. Make it a little easier for him. Dusty and Cam on the fan.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.